Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, another Ja Morant incredible missed dunk. This one came against the Nets last night. Dante Jones, why are Ja's misses more impressive than most players' makes?
Because he tries anything. An ability to jump over people. One of these days, he's going to catch somebody like that.
Right? Here's the thing, Dante. He's too young to worry about his body.
Right.
Like he's like, I don't care. I'll just jump over anybody.
Young Wayne Wade syndrome, right?
Right.
Yep.
You like to fall.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're going to talk about his knees later.
Enjoy it while you can.
Exactly. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I am alongside the host of the Hoop Collective podcast, Mr. Brian Windhorst. A new one out now. I just noticed pop up on my phone
this morning. You're welcome, everybody.
Exactly. And NBA champ, first team, all ACC at Duke, Mr. Dante Jones. Now, Dante, you played 13 seasons in the NBA, but right. You come on The Jump. You know we're going to show this.
I appreciate it.
You dunking on someone in college and then doing push-ups over him.
Now, wait a minute. Your foot is still on the
dude.
While you're doing push-ups.
My foot is under the dude. I was stuck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
That's why between Coach K and him making me a little bit upset, talking mm-hmm. crazy to me, and then him being stuck on top of me, that's what happened.
By the way, on the road, not in Cameron, on the road, he does that.
In a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is totally on brand for you. It was on brand then and it's on brand now.
Again, 13 years in the NBA, never change. Coming up, Steph Curry is set to make his return tonight, finally after missing nearly 4 months of game action, which we expect from the two-time MVP. Stick around and we will discuss. First, though, so when the Mavericks traded for Kristaps Porzingis, Mark Cuban sat at KP's introductory press conference and said his intention was to keep Porzingis and Luka Doncic together, quote, for the next 20 years. Okay, that may have seemed at least a little, I don't know, hasty, especially considering the injury issues dogging Porzingis. But remember, Cuban once had Dirk Nowitzki and Steve Nash on the same team. When Nash became a free agent and wanted to sign a long-term contract with the Mavs, Cuban instead let him walk to Phoenix, a mistake he has since said he will regret forever. So from the start, with this pairing, Cuban has been adamant they are his team's future. And last night, we got another glimpse of why. This game was billed as a showcase for the future of the NBA. We got a nice headlining moment off the top with this Luka step back three over Zion Williamson. Now, this was Zion's first career ever back-to-back. You could see he was a little sluggish. He also struggled with that defense from Maxi Kleber and, yes, Porzingis. They combined for 10 blocks. Luka, on the other hand, also seemed a little off at times early in the game. That spurred speculation the finger he sprained the other night could be bothering him. Still, by the time these two teams got to the fourth quarter, everybody seemed to bear down and level up. Brandon Ingram, cooking. Seth Curry, firing. Zion really got engaged. Looked great there at the end. But when the game rolled into OT, it was a first frustrated and then very calm Luka who firmly took control. Take a look at this three.
Oh, this is
icy. Just so sure of himself and confident. Yeah. And then again, Luka fighting his way over the midline, bounce pass to KP through. This is like a mouse hole size window. And a nice little tomahawk there from Porzingis. Then finally, we got this. Luka, little dance revolution with Drew Holiday, one of the league's better defenders. And come on. Even when Kleber couldn't pay off the kickout, there is Luka again, the presence of mind to punch the ball, keep the Pels from regaining possession. All right, you gotta watch the Holiday part again because it's so good.
It's good defense.
Come on. It is great defense.
Yes.
And yet, Luka, when it was all over, the Mavericks had the win. Porzingis finished with 34 points, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks. Doncic, 30 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. That number is insane, by the way. And by the way, he broke Jason Kidd's triple-doubles record in Dallas. He's only 21 years old. Maybe more importantly, though, Luka and KP together scored or assisted on 20 of the Mavericks' 25 points in the clutch, pushing the team to exactly the kind of win they have struggled with in the past. And really, it feels like it's just the beginning for these two. You know, since they both had injury issues this year, they've only played 38 games together. But their winning percentage in those games would actually make Dallas the fourth seed in the West if Luka and KP had gotten to play together all season. Now, of course, it didn't happen that way. But still, you have to ask, is this a partnership that's going to truly last 20 years? It's still unlikely we're getting two decades. But after watching the two of them last night, I can sure understand why Mark Cuban wants to try for it and all that might happen for Dallas along the way. So, Dante, watching those highlights from last night, how dangerous are the Mavericks in a potential first-round matchup? Now, right now, they would face the Clippers. That's a lot of defense they'd be looking at. But still, they can get some things done, right?
It would be a top defensive team, and it'd be the best offensive-rated team in basketball right now. And I think they'll be able to make some noise and make that a competitive series because, number one, they have a go-to guy in Luka, and then they have shooting surrounding him. They have a championship-level coach. So a guy who's been there before who can make playoff adjustments and make that a series that is just not a sweepable team out there just like normal first round opponents are.
Okay.
I think if you're a fan of the Dallas Mavericks, you should be really, really excited. I don't know about 20 years.
Right.
But this team, the improvement of the players that they've had this year, Seth Curry has been terrific in the second half of the season. He is arguably shooting the ball better than anybody else in the league right now. Tim Hardaway has had a terrific advancement year. I felt like he was cap filler in that trade. He has turned into a weapon for them. They've got the number one offense in the league. And then as you just look at Porzingis as he gets further and further healthier off, not only the knee injury from 2 years ago, but the knee injury he had earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been so focused on how Houston has been so good since the start of February. We may haven't paid enough attention to how much Dallas has improved as the season has gone along. And so when we could talk about this year and, you know, how dangerous they potentially are this year, we do something at ESPN called the Future Power Rankings, where we look at teams' futures. There is almost nobody who has a brighter future than this team. And you know with Mark Cuban and their front office that they are going to be good at getting more pieces. They've shown that they can do that.
Well, Porzingis not only has, you know, played his way back after the knee injury, his upper body strength has been noticeably better and different this year. And it changes the way he plays when he gets knocked around down in the post. He doesn't just then start floating out to the perimeter. He stays there and he does his work. I just think it's made a difference. All that time off for him, he applied that to doing something.
I think health is still, I mean, one of the reasons why the Knicks traded him, he said he wasn't going to sign, but they also were somewhat concerned about his health. So I would say the biggest question mark. The biggest question mark out of all this is health.
That's a whole different segment. Dante, I really like what you said, though, too, about they know who they're going to down the stretch. Because for so many teams, when they get in a playoff situation, that's something that can feel scrambled. And if they have confidence in this kid already, again, he's only 21 years old, but so clearly last night you could see he is their guy when things get tight at the end. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, they have a go-to guy who makes plays as well. He can score in bunches, but he also can make plays for other people. They have did a great job of assembling shooting around him. And coaching is going to be the part where separates them from most teams who can make great playoff adjustments in Rick Carlisle and who's great with his X's and O's. So, yeah, they're a team to be able to watch out for, to be able to make a scare in the playoffs if they have a team that is not really prepared for them and cannot match them in shooting.
Yeah, for sure. Now, are we worried at all about Luka's left thumb injury? Because he did go get X-rays on it again last night after the game. They reconfirmed that he just has a sprain. There's nothing broken. But, Brian, are you worried at all? Do you think maybe they should sit him?
Yeah, well, they're
two.
Already watching that ankle because he's had two ankle sprains. They give him some back-to-backs off. Have you ever had a thumb ligament injury?
Yes, I've had a thumb ligament injury, and it's bad when it's in your shooting hand. Yeah. So, right, since he's a right-handed shooter, it's not something that's going to it's going to nag him, and it's going to be an inconvenience, and he can adjust his game around it. Mm-hmm. But as you see, it got hit, and he kind of just kept on going, making certain moves. It's just how much pain he can take.
The thing about it is, if you tear your ligament in your thumb, his season will be over.
Right.
I don't know if it's in danger. I'm sure they wouldn't keep playing if it was in danger of a worse injury. But that's something, you know, you got to keep somewhere.
He did say after the game that he needs to start wearing one of those plastic splints, but I know that players don't like doing that. So,
but you might have to do that just to make sure that
you guys don't.
But they're in a sixth seed right now, right? So, and if they stay, they're probably staying a sixth seed. That's a good place for them to be.
Yeah, they've been going back and forth with
scenario.
Seventh and sixth. So, for sure. Absolutely. Warriors announced yesterday Steph Curry cleared to return to action after missing 58 games with a broken left hand. Curry said he expects to play 24, 28 minutes tonight in a rematch of last year's finals. Here's Steph on his motivation for playing right now.
Enough to play. I've been pretty clear on it's going to be a while before, you know, comparing the left to the right, that it feels normal. And there is a new normal that I'm dealing with, but that's the reality of it. And at this point, I can't re-injure it unless something freakish happens like it did last time. And there's a confidence knowing that. And I just got to get out there and play.
Dante, how much of a lag do you expect for Steph Curry? Is he going to come out and be Steph Curry right away, or do you think he's going to have to work his way into it?
I think Steph is going to be dynamic tonight. He'll be Steph Curry. He's been away from the game for a little bit of time. The game has missed him, and he's missed the game. He can put on offensive shows at times. He'll be playing, like, what, 20 to 24 minutes? So that's something that he can manage and go out there and give you a good show. But he's also playing a Toronto Raptors team who has length, who defends at a high clip. So it's a tough opponent to come back for. He should have came back for the Wizards. But
if he wanted to go out, Steph. Dave Willard came back against the Wizards. Steph wanted to come back against the Wizards. Instead, right. They wanted him to get that one more practice in. And you're right. The Raptors are not going to be a pushover tonight. And
not at all.
Yeah. So I've seen some people wonder why Steph is coming back and playing. Well, first off,
Steph
wants to play. Second off, the fans want him to play. We want him to play, too. I don't know if you heard. They're on ABC on Saturday night.
Just didn't mention that.
The other thing is, you know, this comes from Greg Popovich. One of the things I've learned watching Pop over the years, he doesn't believe that any time is wasted. That at the end of a blowout or if it's a game where Tim Duncan was sitting or whatever, he doesn't waste that time. And Steve Kerr learned from that. These games do not mean nothing. Mm-hmm. There will be things that happen in these games, whether it's with Andrew Wiggins or it's with other guys you're looking at, that potentially will help them down the line. We're not going to know it now. But in addition, we want to watch one of the best players in the league work. You know, I promise you something will happen when Steph comes back that we'll be sitting here next October or November saying, hey, remember that? That is something that happened with the Spurs all the time.
And by the way, it is great for the fans because Steph Curry is really, really fun to watch play basketball. We have missed that over the last 4 months. And I'm watching some of these practice videos that have come out over the last couple weeks. He is, as always, he's shooting from the logo. He's shooting from half court. He's doing things in motion. It's just a joy to watch him play. And I think he appreciates, after being away from the game for a few months, I know at the end of last season, they were all so worn out, right, and tired up there in Golden State. Having it taken away from him, I chatted with him last month. He's so itching to get out there. I think you will see that Steph Curry joy, and that is going to be so much fun also. And Brian mentioned it. If you do like watching Steph Curry play basketball, you're really going to want to tune in on Saturday night. The Warriors host the Sixers on ABC. The Jump is your pregame show, 8 o'clock Eastern. We will see you there. All right, stay with us on this show because coming up, we're going to check in on Joel Embiid, whose status is unclear for Saturday night. He's got a shoulder injury, but it did not keep his fingers from working on Twitter. We will check in on that. First, though, it's time for our distant replay. This date in 1993, boys... It's time for Grandmama.
Oh, nice. Muggsy? Yes,
yes, yes, yes, look at that.
Who squeaked it in?
Was that Uncle Cliffy? Uncle Cliffy went like hard into the basket standard there.
Well, he's wrong place at the wrong time.
He might have needed like that.
If you could look into the camera, this is for the Jump. If you could say it's a make or mislead.
I don't believe that.
Okay. Then you don't have to say it.
I appreciate it.
It's a make or mislead.
Queen knows.
Thank you, Pat Pat. Make tributes. Grizzlies with a huge win over the Nets last night. And then their bench mocked the Nets bench celebration. I think I would actually call this trolling instead of a tribute, don't they?
Definitely a troll. Definitely a troll, and it did their research, so we appreciate it.
Right? It's that's
good
true.
For, good for the game.
Right?
That's benches research other benches. I mean, not just the scouting reports, but the celebration.
That's next level. We've been talking about the Grizzlies' dedication, their willingness to go the extra mile, and there you go. I do really like the Nets bench mob. I would like them to have a name. I think that would be more fun. But I got to give the Grizz props here for pulling it off.
And did their homework.
And by the way,
and a big win. It helps that you're winning
say,
really big.
You got to back that up with a win. You can't do that and then lose the game. Miss Memory, Kevin Porter Jr. I don't know how this happens, Dante.
Listen. No, now, what jersey. What would be said to this rookie in this locker room and or done to this rookie?
He would be laughed at, but that was always my worst fear.
Was it?
I always would check, like, oh, do I have my jersey on? Because you have so much you're putting on. Obviously, you see the shirt that he has under his jersey. So sometimes you get in that little rush of trying to get to the court, and you just forget one thing. You can forget an arm sleeve. You can forget a sock. But
you can't forget
your jersey.
You can forget your pants, which we have seen happen.
You got so much you're putting on.
Right?
And you're just in a little rush.
I don't know. Anthony Davis told a very good story about when he was with Team USA. He was so starstruck his first time in with all the older players around him that he also forgot to put his jersey on, and he went for warm-ups, and they went to go to the Coach K called him to come in, and he couldn't take his warm-up off. He had to basically tell Coach, I couldn't do it. And Kobe gave him such a look. He said that to this day, every time he goes out on the court, he checks under his warm-up for his jersey and thinks of Kobe Bryant. I love that story. Make box scores. Shout out Terrence Ross, who dropped 35 points. And that's it, people. Zero rebounds, zero assists, zero steals, zero blocks.
In fairness, he did have two fouls.
That has nothing to do with this right here.
Like, is that intentional?
He was in a full catch and score mode. Like, he just had scoring on his mind all night long. I don't see how you didn't just accidentally get an assist.
As a player, are you psyched about that scoreline or embarrassed about that scoreline?
You got 35, right? I'm psyched about the 35. All he cares about 35.
You're like, yeah, that's all good.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, Miss, chill. Take a listen.
Richard, can you tell my wife hi?
I was standing about 3 feet from him in that moment. It was glorious. Our own Richard Jefferson has quite the sense of humor, as we've all experienced. Dante, does your old teammate ever chill? That is
it's
our next
just
question.
Richard being as inappropriate as Richard always is, whether on or off camera. It's just Richard being Richard, and I appreciate him being genuine and 100% Richard at all points in time.
People don't appreciate his sarcasm. Last night he made a joke about how Manu and Tony Parker carried Tim Duncan on the broadcast.
Right.
And people thought he was being serious.
Yeah. People don't get that he's never serious.
I was going to say, that's
never
the
taken
problem.
Seriously.
Never serious.
The yeah. Knicks had to put out a statement when he joked about signing with them.
Again, do right. they have to put out a statement, well, Brian? You keep saying these things in the show.
That's a good point about the verb.
Make reactions. Check out this young lady with the crossover. Look at her handle here. Woo! And, of course,
now look at the cheerleader.
Bucket.
Now look
All
at
right,
the cheerleader.
So the cheerleader's reaction or the actual play itself, which is better?
The play itself.
Okay.
Play itself.
Also, the cheerleader is staring and pointing at the girl who fell.
But that's all kids now. They'll take that move when the player falls.
I know. You've got kids who play. Do you teach them that you want them to play defense and if you get crossed over, it happens?
Yeah.
Or do you teach them to mock the kid that fell on the ground?
I teach them to understand that you could always be the kid that fell on the ground because you play so hard defensively, but not worry about that. And
Thank
the game
you,
is more
Jones.
Precious than just making
Thank
people
you, Dante
fall.
Jones.
Move.
Dante teaches his kids how to do push-ups in a key moment. That's
I'm trying to teach him to be better than me.
All right, Miss 180s, take a listen.
Joel Embiid in 2019 won the trademark for this nickname of his. That also describes the 76ers' strategy of improving the team. Paul.
What is do a 180?
No. Margaret or Mike? What is the process?
Come on, Paul.
What is
Come
the
on,
process?
Come on, Paul. Now, even though Joel is, of course, called the process, he leaned in, changed his Twitter handle to the new nickname, do a 180, and even tweeted out a clip of him. I believe it was from high school, right?
Yes.
Of him. Doing a 180, basically. Look at
How
this.
How did he have that clip just ready to go?
He's Joel.
That's a great
phone
answer.
Is his greatest weapon, right? I mean, come on. This is fantastic. So good. And also,
the process. I like how he talked to him like he was a little kid. The process.
I don't understand how people who go on Jeopardy who are like a million times smarter than the rest of us because they know crazy stuff never seem to know sports stuff. I promise you, the 10 most popular television programs last year were sports programming. It's not that hard. I'm just saying. Now, the Sixers have announced that Embiid will not play tonight in Sacramento. He's been out a week with a shoulder sprain. We will see if he plays on Saturday in that big ABC game we were talking about before with the Warriors. I thought it was interesting that today was his 1 week reevaluation and they just ruled him out for tonight. They didn't say, oh, he's going to be out for the next couple games. So we will see if he's on the court to face Steph Curry. Every win is now pretty important for Philadelphia. They need home court advantage maybe more than anyone else in the league when you look at the huge disparity between their home and road records. So how patient do you guys think that the Sixers should be with Embiid and bring him back?
They don't have a choice. They have to be patient. They have to be patient with them. They're, you know, but they're missing three starters right now because Josh Richardson had a concussion and he's going to be out tomorrow. I think they already announced. And obviously I don't know if Ben Simmons is going to play again this year, depending on how that treatment goes. And they've fallen to sixth place again. You know, they had been making progress and they're playing well. And now they're back in six because the Pacers have been hot recently. And, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't win the East from six, but it ain't where you want to be, I'll tell you that.
Dante, as a player, when there's an injury and it could kind of – he's obviously day-to-day, it seems like, at this point. How does that work inside?
he's not your normal player, right? Because the more he sits out, the more out of shape he gets, the more it affects his on-court performance. So they're in a weird spot with 20 games left to be able to get him in shape. So give him some time off. So right, they got to use this window right now, this next five games, to let his shoulder heal. So then they have 15 games to get him in shape. We see Zion, who's in like that 15 game range, and he's still not fully in shape. So if you let him stay off too long, then he gets out of shape. But you give him some time to heal, and you stay at that sixth spot, because that sixth spot keeps you out of the Milwaukee Bucks' way coming up, and only you get them in conference finals time. So maybe you'll be at six, and you'll get an opponent that you most likely can beat, and then try to catch the Milwaukee Bucks when it comes final.
Well, I mean, you would probably have to get through Celtics, Toronto. It's a tough path for them, for sure. But six is interesting. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Lakers. They have a firm grip on the number one seed out west. So how should they manage LeBron's workload down the stretch? We will discuss that next. Hey, we've got an excellent NBA Friday doubleheader here on ESPN. Zion and the Pelicans hosting Jimmy Butler and the Heat at 8 Eastern. And then Giannis and the Bucks take on LeBron and the Lakers. This is quite the night of basketball, friends. And coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern. If you're still not impressed, we can do more. We can get better. We have the Lakers versus the Clippers Sunday at 3:30 Eastern over on ABC. So, you know, just go ahead and cancel all your weekend plans, because I know you're watching The Jump Saturday night. Now you got this game Sunday. You got Friday. It's, you know, this is what we like to do for you. And we'd like to give you Clinton Yates in the show as well. He has joined us.
How's everybody
doing? Columnist for The Undefeated, which will celebrate its fourth anniversary in May. Shout out to everyone there. And by the way, ESPN President Jimmy Pitaro just announcing that The Undefeated is going to expand.
Yes.
Which is pretty awesome. So I just want to give
thank you. Appreciate
a big yell, Kevin Merida, Raina Kelly, everybody over there who is involved, because it is really impressive. All right, as you can see, pretty big weekend for the Lakers, who are 5.5 games ahead of the Clippers for the first place out west. So, Brian, how do Frank Vogel and the staff manage LeBron's workload down the stretch?
You know who decides what LeBron's workload is? His name is LeBron. That's how they decide. He likes to play. He doesn't want to sit out games. He has had that groin injury act up a few times. Yes. I expect him to go full bore this weekend. They have a East Coast road trip at the end of the month. I hate to tell folks, but there's a possibility that's where they could cut back a little bit. But they've been building. LeBron's been playing better and better. This is the best the Lakers have played all year. Don't talk to him about rest right now. He's thinking about playing and playing well.
Dante, you played with him.
Yeah, and you have to – I play for Frank and I play with LeBron, right? Mm-hmm. And they do a great job of communicating both people. So you find a plan that works for him, find out where he wants to be, because his rhythm is a big thing coming down the stretch. But he also loves to play basketball, right? So he wants to be involved in games. He doesn't want to sit down. So you just find that sweet spot, game here, game there. He's definitely when you're not going to play the last game of the year. So you'll just find a couple games for him to take off and just be able to keep his body together.
Yeah, and they have a back-to-back-to-back in April because of the Clippers.
Because of that rescheduled Clippers-Lakers game.
He ain't going to play all three of those.
Or you can sit him out fourth quarters.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
My bad.
I looked this up because I wanted to know the numbers. He's played in 14 games this year where they had a 20-point or more lead in the fourth quarter. That seems like a lot, just to me. And he's played 86 minutes in the fourth quarter, which they had a 15-plus lead. I think that's an obvious place to cut back, just based on looking at that. And I don't know what the plan is for his body or how he feels about that, but those numbers both seem like they could go down and the Lakers wouldn't suffer a whole ton, as far as I see it.
Well, this feeds into the next thing we're going to talk about, because there's only one team with a better record than the Lakers. They are the Milwaukee Bucks. They won big last night over the Pacers. They are now on pace to win 70.1 games. That would be amazing if they really could win 70.1 games somehow this season. And look, there's started the conversation about, do you value rest? Do you go for 70 games? People bring up the 2016 Warriors, which you were probably the first one to tell me going for 73 is not the reason that they lost those finals. You believe your team is the reason that they lost those finals.
No, I think it's a combination.
You do?
I think a combination, because peak performance is one thing you're trying to get to when you're trying to win a championship. You don't want to peak too early, because once you hit your peak, you can only hold it for a certain amount of
time.
Did
you think they were tired during that final series when you were going against them from trying to go for 73?
We thought they would be tired by the time they got to us. Like, it'd be because at that point in time, the Cavs were tapering off a little bit, trying to take a little bit off and keep and hold their peak longer. They kept rolling, and then you have to worry about injuries coming down the stretch. So the Milwaukee Bucks are going for 70 is a novelty. Like, you can go for 70. If you don't win a championship, it really doesn't matter. The Bulls are remembered because they got 70 and they won a championship. Right. So we have to keep that in mind, and winning the championship is the ultimate goal. Getting to the playoffs healthy, having your guys who had nagging injuries get to the playoffs and be there and be prepared to win. So I think that's the most important thing for them.
Now, for me, it's kind of what you said about LeBron. Giannis is resting so many of these fourth quarters anyway. I mean, he's playing less than 30 minutes a game a lot of the time.
I agree, and I think that's why you go for it. I mean, with the case with the Warriors, they'd already won something. They presumably knew how to get to that mountain, to the mountaintop. I think there's a decent amount of value in the Bucks in trying to simply figure out how to win those games for the sake of their fan base as much as for each other. You talk to people from Milwaukee, first thing they say all the time, think the Bucks are going to win 70? Think the Bucks are going to win 70? It's the only question I get anywhere I go in America. Mm-hmm. It matters to them, and I think it's going to matter to that team as well.
Yeah, I think you go for 70 if you have 69 wins on the last day of the season.
Right.
I don't think you change. What they're doing right now is working amazingly. I'm going to say this. If you win 70 games and then don't win the title, you're going to wish you didn't win 70 because you're going to hear about it for a long time. Ask the Warriors about that. So,
right, but at some point, too, if they're not exerting themselves, which in many of these games, they're frankly not, they have a historic point differential. They're winning games by 13 points a game.
Status quo.
So are they supposed to try to start losing some games so they don't hit 70? I mean, what is status quo.
What
to,
they're doing
quote, not go for 70,
right.
What do you do?
Well, you sit Giannis for a week, what you do. But I'm saying,
again, like you said with LeBron, you have that conversation with Giannis.
Well, I just think everything they're doing is fine. Don't change anything. If it results in 70, fine. If it doesn't, no pity party.
Go ahead.
Most important thing is to get the number one seed overall.
Yeah,
right?
You got it.
You don't want to come on a Lakers
that's
field
yep.
or a Clippers court yep. for the first game of the NBA Finals if you get there. So getting the number one seed is their goal.
They've got a four-game lead.
Ding, ding, ding. That is the winner comment of the day.
They've got a four-game lead, and if they win tomorrow,
yes.
it'll be a six-game lead, essentially, because they get the tiebreaker.
Yes, absolutely. All right, I do want to check in on my favorite playoff race going. Yep. There we go.
All the horses.
Race for the eighth spot out west. Damian Lillard returned last night after missing six games because of that groin injury. He scored 22 points. The Blazers, oh yes, Clinton, they breezed by your Wizards.
Wizards now. They can't
when they
out
lose,
my
they're
wizards.
Your Wizards. Dame said he felt good, didn't feel restricted. Melo led Portland with 25 points because, you know, he couldn't play in the league anymore. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn, the Grizzlies blew out the Nets by 39. We saw them dancing earlier. The scoring load shared between nearly every player who got on the floor. So with the win, Memphis kept its lead 3.5 games ahead of Portland and Sacramento for the final playoff spot out west. And the Pelicans are all the way at the bottom of that because we had enough room on the screen. But I got to tell you, they're now 5 games out with only 20 to play. Should people stop doubting the Grizzlies?
I was never doubting the Grizzlies for what it's worth. I thought the Grizzlies were the team in this spot. But I think that for a lot of people, look, Ja is the truth, but the Ja versus Zion thing isn't really a fair comparison when we're talking about whether or not the Pels are going to get back to the playoffs. They're too many games back. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way that the Grizzlies have applied themselves, again, this team, they're so much fun. You guys talk about them dancing on the sidelines and all this other stuff. They are an actual good basketball team, not a team that is still trying to get back to what they could be. I think the Grizzlies are going to take this, and I don't think it's going to be that close for probably those two teams on the outside. Sacramento.
They had a 4-game lead at the All-Star break. They came out of the All-Star break and had some injuries and lost 5 in a row. That was reason to doubt them. They lost 5-0. Guess what? They've got a 3.5 game lead. They lost no ground with that losing streak. And that was just because the teams behind them didn't take advantage of it. And the Blazers, you know, they had injury to the Lillard. But look where they are now. They're in a great situation.
Dante, the Pelicans do play some of those teams above them. So they will have the chance to try to create those windows from
So the Grizzlies have the second hardest schedule in the NBA going forward and the hardest in the West. Mm-hmm. I'm more worried about that Portland Trailblazers team who has veterans, who have people that want to prove something, who have a dangerous guy who's moved mountains before in Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. Like that's a team that could do some damage as an 8 seed. I think the Grizzlies, if they get in as an 8 seed, they'll be happy to be there with that young core, won't have any experience to be able to pull off a first-round victory or make somebody nervous. But I think the Portland Trailblazers would be the team that you kind of don't want to see as an 8 seed because they have a go-to guy that can take over a series by himself.
I could deal with a little Melo LeBron first-round series.
I think that could be fine.
Can we have a D.C. moment, D.C. area moment here? You know, there is one team in NBA history that with 20 games to go, being 5 games back, made it into the NBA playoffs. Do you know what team that was?
I do not.
Those were your 1996 Washington Bullets.
Didn't they lose that series by a total of 8 points?
We're not talking about that, Clinton. Coming up, we'll discuss where this rookie sophomore class compares with the all-time greatest back-to-back draft classes of all time. This is going to be fun. Wait till you see these lists. And here's what the Jump recommends for today. This is on ESPN.com and the app. Check out our NFL, NBA, and NFL. Any predictions.
Sure.
NBA predictions.
Sure, there's NFL
predictions.
Available.
Where will Tom Brady go? Everything is available on that ESPN app. Everything you could possibly need. Check it.
Shout out to Rex Chapman.
So who was on the 96 Bulls?
Zion Williamson in the house. His first matchup ever against Luka Doncic. Two of the top box office must-see stars in the NBA.
Young fella, do your thing. Man's doing work right now. 14th triple-double. Such a bad man.
Luka and Zion leading an impressive rookie and sophomore class that looks like it could be filled with not just future stars, maybe future Hall of Famers. We wanted to compare this rookie and sophomore class to the best other back-to-back draft classes from the past. So let's run it back, people. 2012, 2013, these classes featured Giannis, Bradley Beal.
Big young Brad.
Woo, look how happy he looks. Clean. Anthony Davis, Rudy Gobert, Damian Lillard. Right? Then we've also got 2008, 2009. We've got Steph Curry.
Not bad.
Sonia Dell. Blake Griffin. James Harden with the mini beard.
Not a good era for DraftKings.
The baby beard. Derrick Rose. Right? Russell Westbrook. Drafted by the Sonics.
Back when he smiled.
Woo. 2003 and the famous 2004 draft class with Carmelo Anthony.
Nine.
Chris Bosh. LeBron James in the white suit.
Oh, wow. Legendary. Ooh,
Dwight Howard.
10-piece suit.
And Mr. Dwayne Wade. The 96-97 draft class, not to be messed with. Tim Duncan.
Looking like a deacon.
Ray Allen. Right, drafted by the Timberwolves, then traded.
Oh, and the God.
Our greatest living American, Allen Iverson. And T-Mac. We also had Steve 12 Nash.
12-piece suit.
Kobe Bryant, drafted by the Hornets. And, of course,
traded
to the Lakers.
Oh, I didn't know the Hornets drafted Kobe. That's interesting information.
Nobody's ever talked about that. And then 84-85, loaded. Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, Carl Malone.
Short track.
Look at the mailman.
Short track. John Stockton, his running mate, drafted with him. Look at him with Coach Frank Layden, patting him on the head. And the dream.
Bo Tyler.
Oh, man.
Tuxedo.
Looking clean.
Right? So unbelievable back-to-back classes.
That was worth it just to see the
stuff. Right? It was amazing.
Excellent footage.
All-Stars, MVP, Hall of Famers. So this year's rookie and sophomore, look, on the one hand, of course, it's not a fair question because we don't know what these guys are going to become. But they've been so impressive. LeBron keeps talking about how good they can be. Some of the other greats around the game from, you know, retired players can't believe what these kids are doing. So fill in the blank, Brian. We're going to start with you. Out of all the classes we mentioned, this rookie sophomore class is the best since blank.
I spent some time on this, and I'm not putting anybody down who's in those mid-last 12, 15 years. I just feel so good about Luka's future, and I'm so excited about Zion and Ja that I'm going to go back to 2003-04 and that two-year gap. And we're talking about five Hall of Famers who were picked there. But I just feel like these guys could be if you win a championship, you got to have that franchise stud. And I feel like there's some franchise studs here in these last couple of drafts.
Dante, what do you got?
I'm disappointed you guys didn't put me in that lineup. 03-04, yeah. That was
wow.
My draft. Six Hall of Famers, but don't notice
it's fine.
Cool. But I think it's the closest to the 08-09 class because they had four MVPs in that class, right? And I think this class has the capability of having Trey, Luka, Zion, and Ja. That's a possibility of them having four MVP type of seasons, and I think that's the comparable class to this one.
To me, it's the variance in game that brings it back to the LeBron class. They're the best since then. I also think that the expectations were, and the only reason they're tied with them, in my opinion, is because the expectations were so high on that class between LeBron and Melo in terms of what you thought was going to be there, and they actually got there. I'm not saying that they're going to exceed that, but I think they're going to get very close to that without the same level of expectations. Even though Zion's are high, Luka's weren't quite the same, so it's a little different. But, yeah, you've got it. You can skip all the way back to LeBron and Melo for me.
I mean, look, best since kind of means that, you have to go back. I mean, we talked about those earlier classes, though.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, that again, that Allen Iverson group is amazing, and the Charles and Jordan. And I mean, it's just kind of crazy when you see these, again, clumps.
Clump life.
As we were talking yesterday,
it's
these clumps of guys where you'll have a couple years where the draft doesn't feel that deep or feel that impactful, and then all of a sudden a bunch of guys come in together and I think raise each other's games, right?
Right, and but those classes had generational talents in each one, right?
Yep.
So now we're at the point where we think, will Zion be one? But that class, one of them had LeBron, one of them had Kobe, one of them had AI. Like, each of one of those classes had a guy that moved the needle way above everybody else, and hopefully this class will have one like that.
Yeah, that you're putting on that mountaintop, right, or in Allen Iverson's case, on the very top peak of the mountaintop. Nary a day goes by here at The Jump where we don't discuss,
Allen Iverson,
how amazing Allen Iverson is, but also the plight of the New York Knicks and their fans, and today will be no different. Last night, the Knicks drew their loudest crowd in more than 500 games since December. Sorry, their lowest crowd. Lowest, but also loud because...
In certain ways.
I'm sorry. The announced crowd, 16,588. That's more than 3,000 below capacity for their loss to the Jazz. And you're seeing video of fans because fans came out and showed on social that they started chanting, sell the team, right? You heard that late in the fourth quarter. They say that they were escorted out after being, quote, interrogated for 15 minutes. One says that the MSG site, security officers there cited the code of conduct rules. Now, MSG and the folks at the Knicks have pushed back on this. They deny that the fans were ejected or even escorted out. But the fact that this is all in dispute and the fact that it comes a day after Spike Lee said he wouldn't be going back this season because of his treatment at Madison Square Garden. I mean, Clint, where does this end for the New York Knicks?
It doesn't end anywhere. I mean, here's the deal. It effectively feels like a police state, apparently, when you go to MSG. And I say that sort of facetiously, but look at the looks on the security guards' faces. They're all just standing around thinking, we got to deal with this nonsense again. And if every single image coming out of MSG is about somebody in the crowd, somebody behind the scenes in a tunnel, or somebody on the concourse, when the team is actually, what, 1-2 in a row? I mean, like, you've got a problem. We discussed this yesterday. It doesn't matter what is right or what is wrong at this point. The only thing that you see related to the New York Knicks are bad, embarrassing viral videos. That's not good enough.
Yeah, we need New York. It's a team near and dear to my heart. And you need that experience to be a fan-friendly experience. I think Leon Rose has gotten there and has a tough job on the basketball side. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with fans and they're not creating that environment needed for basketball to produce, that's when you really have a problem. So there has to be some unity amongst the fans and prioritization of the fans.
What person in the entire world could give Jim Dolan public relations advice they would actually take? Because there has to
be... No one so far.
Nobody
no one
who's been able to get him to do this. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people that know him, and they compliment him. They really do. They say he's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. He's a loyal guy. But he has got a blind spot on this. And now every time the Knicks put out a statement, it's almost like, by the way, he's not selling the team. He's not selling the team. I mean, just ignore the people who say that. But there's nobody who can get to him to say that. There's got to be somebody in this world that he respects enough who can get to them. And that person hopefully can get there, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
I mean, we work with public relations people all the time. I think there have been some very good public relations people who have gone through that franchise, and they are not listened to all the time. All right, Clinton, thanks for joining us.
We appreciate it.
You'll be back tomorrow.
Yep.
Up next, what should we expect tonight when the Clippers and Rockets face off in Houston? That is going to be so good. First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one, this date, 2008, featuring Rajon Rondo. I love this team. These guys are so fun.
If Rondo really was experienced enough.
Punched it.
I'm just going to go.
Jason Maxey a little late on the rotation.
Passed out at his own rate.
Headband versus headband. Headband wins.
This is sensational.
Big baby.
It's crunch time here on The Jump. Miami beat Orlando last night, the Battle of Florida. They take the season series 3-1. It was the first time in the last 4 years that the Heat won the state title. Myers Leonard tweeted this post-game, "This is our state." Is he right? Brian?
I have nothing to say about this.
I have no dog in this fight. They are right.
Trust me, Pat Riley is not trying to win state championships.
Last year, wasn't it this game that ended up deciding which one of them made the playoffs, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
That would be a great point if it's true, and I'm going to take your word for it.
Something. It was involved in what happened with the playoffs.
Here's what I know. They made 22 threes last night, and that set a record.
And there you go. And they needed those. And he's keeping the game. That's nice. The defending champion Toronto Raptors could clinch a playoff berth with a win tonight against the Warriors in the Bay. That's a little sweet, right? The last time they were in Northern California. They won that little thing called the NBA title, so do you expect an easy dub, Dante? You see what producer Danny did there with the rap for the Raps.
Steph Curry's back in town. There's going to be a celebration. He's going to make some shots, but I think it's an easy victory for the Raptors, who are in playoff contention. And the locker room still smells like champagne. It smells like champagne for them.
Actually, it's a brand new locker room.
Oh, really?
It smells like paint.
That's right.
but they've struggled a little bit recently. They've lost three of their last four. So I think the Raptors are more worried about how they're playing than they're.
I think you'll have a little grudge match, a little bit. Marcus Smart fined $35,000 for his exchange with officials on Tuesday night after the Celtics lost to the Nets. Smart has now been fined more than $300,000 during his NBA career. Dante, will Marcus look back and regret that, or feel that it was money well spent?
When he's in my seat, he'll regret that $300,000. It wasn't worth it. But what we don't know is that if any of those things got rescinded or not.
Right. Well, maybe. Brian, you had strong feelings about whether he should be fined.
Well, I just don't. Even if he was right, you just can't go after an official like that. And the league backed up their officials by fining him. But that's not always been the case this year. So
really, you just went and doubled down.
Yeah, it hasn't been the case. So this is a good step in that direction.
I can see the eyes rolling over on
Let
Park Avenue. Before we go, I want to preview a big game on the slate tonight. Clippers and Rockets facing off for the fourth and final time this regular season. First time since December 19th. So, Dante, both of these teams look a lot different than they did back in December. What are you expecting to see tonight? Because we could get this matchup in the playoffs.
I expect to see a Rockets win tonight. I think it's 2-1 right now. Rockets are playing extremely well since they've gone to the small ball situation. I think that's tough to prepare for. I don't see the Clippers using any like playoff adjustments right now just so they don't show anything. Mm-hmm. So I think the Rockets have enough right now to beat the Clippers at home.
Clippers are 9-0 with their full lineup. Mm-hmm. 9-0. They have not been beat, and they can play a whole different bunch of ways. They can play big, they can play small, they can play slow, they can play fast. They are equipped to win this game. I want to see if somebody can beat them.
It's going to be interesting when you mentioned, hey, they don't want to show anything, Dante. Do you think that when adjustments against these Rockets are really going to be some of the key to whether teams can take them on in a 7-game series, there is going to be a little bit of holding back from a guy like Doc Rivers?
Right. I think that's the chess part of you getting prepared for the playoffs. And those adjustments are the things that they won't show, the things that they're preparing for the playoffs. If they have to see them, they won't show them tonight. So I think their style of play leads to a victory for the Rockets tonight.
Rockets coming off of a bad loss in New York. So I expect them to, come out with a lot of energy tonight. As well.
Do you think Patrick Beverley is going to be fired up for a Rockets game in his
Patrick
old
Patrick Beverley is fired up for
town.
Right now.
That's true. He is fired up right now. But there's always a little extra spice with those games, too. I love it. Thanks to Dante, Brian, Clinton for joining me. We will see you back tomorrow on The Jump, and see you Saturday.